Welcome to ExphysBiz with me, Aaron King, a podcast for exercise physiologists and health professionals wanting to grow and scale in business. Welcome to ExphysBiz with me, Aaron King. I'm the owner of Fit Clinic, Fit Clinic Online, and Fit Clinic Strength Co. So that is the physical location that we have, the online programming side of the business, and also our product arm. I've got 2 decades of experience, and I didn't really like that some things were just the way it was done. There was traditional setups of allied health clinics, and I didn't find that was effective. So I was trying to find innovative solutions in private practice. And over that time, we've actually developed an online training portal for our clients, and it came out of necessity. So I wanted to discuss how we've gone online as an allied health professional. So I found that through listening to the needs of our clients and seeing a bit of a gap, I developed Fit Clinic into both a gym and allied health clinic, making sure that I blended the traditional models of allied health. And that was a part where I thought there was a number of gaps in the service. Most allied health, or many allied health facilities, are built on a house type environment or a very clinical type environment. Although Fit Clinic has clinic in the name, we wanted more of a gym space, and people were clients. They weren't really patients. And I started off with Fit Clinic starting in a commercial gym because I couldn't get a job that I wanted. And I found that it was a little bit hard to come by. So I thought, why don't I just start my own? So I knocked on the door of the closest gym to me that I thought would have a little bit of space. And they said, yeah, sure. And I rented a 3x3 room off them. And I also used their gym floor. And I found that was really effective because a lot of clients were coming up to me. They knew who I was and saying, look, I need a personal trainer, but I have a shoulder injury, but I have a knee pain or something like that. And what they're looking for is an exercise physiologist. But often people don't really know what they're looking for. They don't know the terms, and it's still something that we're trying to get out there and promote. So I thought, well, why don't I just blend the two? And now we've got Fit Clinic, the physical brand, in our location in Southwest Sydney, where we see everything from work cover, NDIS, all third-party streams. Most of our clients are private, and we have a number of clients online, which has really developed in the last 3 or so years out of pure necessity. It was something that was in the future plans, but obviously COVID hit and we couldn't see many people face to face. Although we're exercise physiologists and technically we could, we're in Southwest Sydney. I lived in one LGA, the business is in the next LGA, basically the two most locked down LGAs in Southwest Sydney, trying to travel from one to the other. Not many clients wanted to see us and come into our facility face to face. And we thought, oh, you know what? The first thing that we're going to do is go online. So it's seen as a bit of a tipping point of how we operate the business, and it changed. So I've got a few questions about our online program and how we run our things online as allied health professionals, because it's not typically done, and it's a sub-brand now to Fit Clinic, which is the main brand and the main facility that we started with. Getting up Fit Clinic, running that, then going from a commercial gym, moving into our own space. Once I'd built up enough clients to be able to do that, and then now we're running everything from private, third-party streams and group training as well, and basically seeing the whole spectrum of clients from anyone that might be general to the more medical and more clinical type clients. And I don't think that's a bad thing as an EP, because you always go into a session with the EP mindset and with a broader range of skills than maybe some other professions. Every profession has their niche and their style and how they approach things. But I think EPs are really well set up to see everything from general types of clients and all the way to the medical and clinical, because although many clients come in wanting general support and things like that, but they might have a few things that sort of push them towards the clinical and medical side anyway. So I found that EP was hard. No one really knew what it was. And I built up the business to then go into our own space And that's where I really feel like we started Fit Clinic 2.0, I've kind of termed it, because I really feel like that we started again when it was me running out of someone else's space. Then I found that that was the training till we got to the real work. Because I found that there's a lot of gyms around that are 24 hours, all access, no service. But there was a number of people that still really wanted the service. And I found that other boutique type fitness services, whether it be anything from F45 to CrossFit to medical services, they've probably added an extra layer of understanding to the public, where I've had a number of questions saying, oh, you mustn't like these other programs. There's pros and cons to all these programs when you're looking at it as a professional. But at the end of the day, I think the highest value that I can get from the way that I run my business is people have seen that there is an alternative to the commercial gyms that are 24 hours, all access, no service. So whether that's a various fitness program and a number of them that are out where it's a 45-minute high-intensity program or other forms, I really think they've probably provided value to all the other types of boutique services in the industry. Because I found that if someone's coming from another service to ours and they're used to paying for a service where they actually speak to a real person and things like that, then they're more inclined to take up our service rather than trying to bridge the gap from getting the all access, no service to one that is focused on, like ours, on less clients, much higher level of service from health professionals. So that was really the gap in the market that I found, just really trying to sort of fit in the middle of that and make sure that I could run with it. And then about 7 years, 7 years down the line, probably missed a few years in the middle, but that's where we started to develop the online program and some offshoots to try to diversify, especially with COVID. Now, when COVID hit, it was around 2019. I've kind of forgot the timeline of when things worked at the end of the day. So initially, we really started out the online portion of the service out of necessity because we had to close the majority of our face-to-face services in the 2020 COVID wave, 2019, whatever it was. But basically, we shelved everything, every other project that we were working on, and made this the only priority because at the end of the day, we were trying to see clients online to make sure that we came out the other side of the lockdowns. That was the point that nobody really knew what was going on. Now it seems a little odd to look back on it to see what happened for everybody because everyone's kind of forgotten about it, especially in New South Wales. So we're really trying to sustain ourselves and we went online. So our initial aims during the lockdown was to basically work on things and everything that we built up and added to part of our service. We weren't going to do things only just for the short term. It was going to be for the long term and something that we could have added in permanently once we reopened at full capacity. And then over the last couple of years, we've really built that up. Now, there's a number of benefits and challenges to going online. The first biggest benefit is people saying, oh, look, I can see people from anywhere around the world because you don't have a physical location and you can search for clients anywhere. But I believe that it's probably a little bit harder, at least initially, than a physical location. Because when you're seeing someone face to face, you're actually able to get tone of voice, you're able to build a better connection with them by being with someone. And a physical location gives you some form of clout that being online and not having service or not having available gym. So I think it's harder in some ways, but it's very doable because especially over the last few years, it's much more accepted to train people online. And if you're looking at during COVID, exercise is one of the only things that were recommended that you would be able to do. So when you're looking at what's important to people's lives and what's going to allow them to live a full, healthy life, exercise in the last couple of years was considered basically one of the top indicators of that, that they took everything away except exercise. So everybody, if you're an EP and you don't think that everybody should exercise or do some form of physical activity or movement, then maybe give up your job. But the reality is everybody could probably do with some form of activity, movement for their own health markers, whether it's something highly physical, intense, lifting weights, running, walking, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It's just that you're enjoying it and it's what you want to do and you'll be consistent at it. So that's the main thing that I found was probably important, because telehealth isn't really ideal for all health practitioners. Before starting the service, I was looking at all pros and cons that we weighed up. Now, I've received a couple of questions, people asking me about how I went online and things like that. So I thought today I'm going to answer some of those questions that we've had over the last 3 months since we've started the podcast. So it's not for everybody, but we didn't do much research and assessment before we decided it was right, basically because we had no other choice. Now, we would have done maybe a little bit more research beforehand, and it was in the future plans, but COVID hit and we're like, well, there's only one option to go online, so let's just do it straight away. In that time, we've ended up building an app. We've got exercise resources, exercise education and things online. And now that we're seeing people face to face again, we've kept those clients as a hybrid solution. So meaning that they come in face to face and see us, but also they get extra value that they can sign up to our app and we can deliver their program through our app. They can message us. They can contact us online. We can deliver exercise education. And once we've set it up for one person, it can be applied to another person. So it can be repeated and we just have to tweak it for each person. So the longer we do the online programs for people, the better, more precise and more automated they become. So it does take a little bit of time in the beginning to set it up, but it's definitely a solution that is very 2022 and beyond, because I think that the online portion of physical activity, training, allied health is much more accepted than what it used to be. So I guess the pro to doing it was we're able to operate and we continue to use this model. Other pros to it are adding diversity, giving clients options, increasing reach. There are obviously a number of negatives with the lockdowns, but the positive is that online training has become more readily acceptable as a practice, as an option for everybody. The cons weren't comparable when we started out because we didn't have any other option. But when you lose the benefits of a face-to-face, it can become a bit of a negative there. Sometimes it's lonely if you're working online with clients, and it's a little bit harder to build rapport, the community, the atmosphere, and people might feel like they're not getting enough value. Even if you're doing the exact same session, I do find it's physically harder for the practitioner conducting a session online. You've really got to try harder. So even if you're doing the exact same session face-to-face online, many clients will feel like they're not getting the same level of value, even though you're putting more effort potentially into that. So we didn't change our prices when we went online, but we aimed to provide more value to them. So we provided them with extra resources, extra things. The same questions come up daily, and you probably find you're answering top 10 questions on a daily basis. So if you could say, well, let's write down the questions that people are asking me in a list and create content for that, resources for clients, and also you could use them for social, no problem. You could cut them down and use them, and that's what we do. The other questions that we've got around us going online is risk management, cybersecurity, storing client information. Basically, it applies to everything, and you'll notice with some recent cyber attacks on larger businesses, we really want to try as best we can to protect all our resources, all our client information. Now, if you're going online, maybe you choose to hold the client's information not on your application, not on your exercise software that you might be using or delivering. You might choose to hold that offline as a physical document, but I don't recommend people in 2022 use physical paper. I think just being online and having it available and making sure that it's you're choosing an option that is secure and they've got the appropriate checks and balances in place, like any medical storage software. So that's the level that you'd probably want to consider using. And just on a personal level, make sure that you've got two-factor authentication on everything, because you know, there's a lot of scam, spams, everything on a daily basis. And I don't know about you, but I don't answer my phone anymore. I figure it's if it's important, they'll leave a message or send me a text. And that's actually what my voicemail says, that due to the amount of spam, definitely if you want me to call you back, leave a message or send me a text message. And I do the same when I'm calling other people thinking, oh, look, they're probably not going to know. I'll send them a text. I'll make sure that I leave a message so that it's important. But as usual, I'm getting a little bit sidetracked with what the topic is. When you're looking at setting clients up online, what you'd want to consider is the risk to them. Because, you know, when you're with someone, the risk is you can mitigate some of the risk and make sure that they're in a safe environment. And in a gym type setting, basically everything's heavy and everything is potentially sharp and metal and is a lot harder than skin and bone, but it's still pretty safe if you're using things appropriately and doing appropriate things in an appropriate area. But a lot of these things can't be controlled with unknown events if you're dealing with clients online. So you just want to make sure that you're ensuring that you do a hazard-based assessment or a risk-based assessment for your clients, making sure that you're storing your own things, especially if it's on cloud, but also when they're exercising, when they're doing things, that you're taking all reasonable steps for safety and making sure that if you're in telehealth, in a telehealth session, whether it be a live session or whether you're providing the instruction and then they are going and doing it another time and just checking in online with you or however you choose to set it up, making sure that there is someone available that they can call. Are they alone? Are they around? So we should assess those things. Who's their emergency contact? How can they contact us? If we're online with them, something happens to them, who are we going to call? Just like having an emergency contact face-to-face, all the same rules apply because they're online and they're probably even more important in some ways. But the benefit is that there's an acceptance and willingness since 2020 to go online and it's scalable, but at the end of the day, making sure that you're not trying to be everything to everyone, because at the end of the day, you're going to be nothing to nobody. Like, have you ever looked at, gone into a restaurant and there's four things on the menu? You know exactly what you want, you know exactly what they do and they do well, and that's why you go there. But if you look at it and there's about 40 options, you have no idea, and you're thinking, oh, they're not really good at anything, and you're going to do better if you choose a niche, especially online, because you can see anyone in the world and there's going to be enough people for everybody. If people get confused with what you do, then they're not going to purchase. So you can branch out from there once you have started with the niche, and you can have multiple niches, but I would suggest starting with one thing and then moving on. Now, if you're starting online, all the same things should be in place that you would with a physical business. Especially if you've started with a physical business and then you're going online only as a health professional, or you are using a hybrid type model, you'll have a lot of these things in place. As far as your insurances, you might have a business plan already. I don't recommend starting with a 14-page business plan because, one, I wouldn't read my own if I wrote 14 pages. I'm more of a one-page, couple of paragraphs kind of guy these days. But I would start with a one-page document that is flexible, so it just helps you prioritize, gives your business a bit of direction, can define your objective and just map out your goals and any sort of possible bumps that you might find in the road. But at the end of the day, you're not going to find all the bumps in the road until they come up, because that's just how business is. There's a little bit of trial and error, but hopefully the trial and error doesn't become too expensive. And that's why it's best to learn from other people and connect with other people and make sure that you can try to learn from them before you start yourself, because it's definitely going to be a little bit of cost involved. It's probably going to be a lot cheaper in the long run to learn from other people's mistakes. And developing a bit of a business plan to start can help you just step back and look what's working and what you need to improve upon. My plan is always, and my thought is always, to start with the end goal in mind and work backwards. So look at, well, what goal do I need to seek? Now, part of that is your financial goals. I find that exercise physiologists or health professionals in general don't like to discuss finances or what their goals are, because we don't really get into it to go into the financial side, and that's not the main reason we choose allied health. We choose something more lucrative if finance was our ultimate goal, but it can be effective. But we do need to make sure that we cover that side of things and we consider that, because anytime running a business, that's just what you need to think about, because if you don't have the finances, you can't run and you can't help anyone. So just make sure that you're framing it that way if you need to. That will, having an improved financial model can mean that I just am going to help more people. Now, starting with a flexible plan doesn't need to be perfect to begin, because if it's perfect, probably should have started long ago. And just starting with a lean plan, because it should be flexible, starting with your target market, being specific. And if you're going online, you don't want to be everything to everyone. As I mentioned, start with one niche, and then all your conversations, marketing, and everything can speak directly to that person. Because like I said, if you're everything to everybody, you end up being nothing to nobody. And then you can develop a bit of a track record to be that person. The people that are, you know, I guess, the most known online in the health space, things like that, they all have a specific niche. The overheads are lower when you start online as well. There are definitely going to be some overheads. You're looking at a CRM to track all your clients, any marketing that you might do as well, and obviously your software and apps and things that you might use to administer the programs and things for clients. Now, I know people that have started with like Google Sheets, as simple as that, or developed apps and everything in between. So most of us already have the other parts of the equipment to film exercises, to have video chats, things like that. If you've got a smartphone, it's probably going to be good enough. Just grab a headset, make sure you've got a tripod. You could use a gimbal and things like that if you really want to branch out, but none of that is necessary other than probably just your phone, a headset, some form of microphone, and space and some exercise equipment. Or you could even go to a commercial facility or rent out some space to film a number of things. You know, that's adding some other physical costs, but you can do it if you find that it's valuable. When you're looking to start out in business, the best thing to do is seeking assistance to make sure it runs as smooth as possible. Because you could look at business advisors, accountants, solicitors, any professions, mentors, people like me that have done it before and done it many times over and made a shitload of stuff ups. I've learned from those. Some of them were more expensive than others. Ideally, your trial and error doesn't get too expensive, but learning purely by trial and error is pretty expensive way to do things. So still try to learn from those who have done it before, because it's better to invest some resources, some time and some dollars to learn from people that have done it before, and they can help and support you. And that's why things like franchising businesses, 90% of them will be successful after a number of years, where at the moment I think it's less than 50% of startup businesses end up becoming successful a few years down the line. I'm fairly certain that it's actually reduced in the last couple of years. But just making sure that you're learning from online coaches specifically if you need that. But I've gone outside of my sphere when I've looked at learnings from other business coaches and other advisors, people that have been there, done that, even if it's a different level of business, because business owners understand other business owners, even if it's in a different area, and just looking at how to set it up and going from there. No, I'm available to help, and we're developing some resources for EPs and to help other businesses, both through our face-to-face model and our online models, fairly soon. So look out for that if you're interested. But basically, when you're ready to pull the trigger and make it official, do all the same things that you would with a company. You can start with an ABN, but again, starting with that, your risks are going to be slightly higher because you have some personal risk, but you can add a company. It's cheaper to register as a sole trader, but comes with risk. Company, separate legal entity. So the risk typically lies with the company, and you can mitigate most personal risk, not all of it, but most of it. But it is a little bit more expensive versus starting up as a sole trader and then developing a business once you actually get a few clients. You could always do it that way. But the other thing is probably the hardest in the current online world is making sure that your business and domain names are available and easily found, because hell of a lot of business names and domain names already taken. I was probably even lucky 10 years ago when what I wanted was available. I didn't even start with Fit Clinic as my first name. I thought I'd be smart, use my initials. But then when I found that I was mentioning it online, people had no idea what I was doing, what it was, and they had to ask twice, three times sometimes. So I ended up just changing it. When we started online, we obviously started out of necessity, as I mentioned. But if you're starting in the current market, you've probably got a little bit more time to determine which service, which software, which platform suits your need. You don't have to go and develop your own app because there are a lot more services available. And I would even look outside your allied health sphere as far as finding the best solution for you, because there are a number of teaching platforms that are maybe not initially made for allied health but might really suit you, and they're going to be cheaper to begin with, and then you can build on it and develop something for yourself later or work with us. So we did it all out of necessity, but we've found that as we've worked with different types of clients, it's been really effective and really useful to provide extra value to our clients that are now hybrid clients, so they're both online and offline. But it might not work in every single situation. But if you're dealing with clients that can make their own independent choice, then they might choose online. Maybe only, I don't even know the numbers, but maybe only 10% of exercises want to go online, but 10% of potentially a global audience is a lot more than 100% of people in a 5K radius of where you are. Like, we've got programs now for all our third party, as well as the private clients. But in my view, private clients are always going to be better. And that's what we've based our whole business model on, because at a drop of a hat, third party rules can change and have changed a number of times over the years. But if you're focusing on private clients, then they're choosing to come to you, and that's fine. And it works really well if you can market, but keeping in mind that a private client has a choice, so they can also choose not to see you if you're not providing the service or value that they're looking for. All you really need is a webcam or a phone and some sort of audio microphone speaker, and just making sure that you're checking out your background, noise, light, space and fitness equipment, and that would be fine. But I also recommend a tripod. You can get them pretty cheap these days. Green screen if you really want, but many of the platforms, you can just download an app, or you can, if you're using some of the online softwares to film your programs, film your exercises and film anything that you're doing for people, you can put a blur background on it as well, but it does use a lot more resources and maybe the quality isn't going to be as good. So you just need to keep that in mind. It's best to start, and then you can work out the logistics later. Start first, then modify. Any good product that is now really well developed started off as an initial product, as a first draft, as a version one. So just make sure that you get your version one, because in our facility, we don't have the best of every single bit of equipment. That's probably for some of the commercial gyms, but there's a reason why people will pay to go to a facility and see a real person or have a chat to a real person online, because they want the service. They're not looking for the fanciest version of that equipment. They're looking for the support. And it's still all the same rules apply as a face-to-face business. You need to obviously get consent, record keeping, make sure that it's private. You still have a duty of care to mitigate risk and ensure that you're making the right clinical decision for that person. Now, a question that I've answered before, but I've also got recently, and it's probably the biggest question when people are going online, is, you know, how do you price your treatment? Or do you price it the same as face-to-face? Now, when we first did it, we reduced it a little bit because we thought that was necessary, but I didn't like that option moving forward. So when it was time for the second lockdown, I provided more value rather than reducing the price. And I felt that was better, because as I mentioned, it's harder to see clients solely online because they might be missing some of the face-to-face value, building rapport and just that personal interaction, even if you're providing the same level of service and if not more. Some of it you can automate, but you can't for everything. So what I preferred to do is provide extra value to those clients. Now, looking at extra resources, extra check-ins, extra things that they might not have got when they're face-to-face. So making sure that they feel like they're getting more value when they're online as opposed to face-to-face. They might be doing, say, as an example, one session a week for an hour face-to-face, but you might provide them when they're online with 2 hours worth of value. So it might be, you know, writing their programs, checking in, reviewing their exercises, or providing them extra resources and things like that. Again, some of that you can automate, so you still might provide an hour worth of your time, but to them it's potentially going to be 2 hours worth of value, and that's really why people are going to stick online with you, is because they're getting enough value from the service that they're paying. Because there are a number of different options. People can be a hybrid client where they're face-to-face and they're also getting support online, or they can be online only with live sessions. So you're doing, you know, like everyone did during lockdowns, live exercise sessions over Zoom, or you could do online only, but a hands-off with programs. Maybe you've got like a hypertrophy program, a strength program, a sports program, and you know, someone that maybe has less individualized needs, they don't need a personalized live session every single time. You might have one of these once a month or once a week or however you choose to do it. You provide them with a questionnaire with some feedback, and then you respond based on their questionnaires. I would say that there are a number of large services out there that are just set and forget. Like you've got Chris Hemsworth, Apple, Optus, a number of these ones that are just set and forget. So my personal opinion is not going up against those and just going, look, I just set and forget, because you're trying to get high volume, low cost. But there's already so many programs out there. You're better off providing a valuable service because you're an individual that has a specific set of knowledge, and you're going to find a niche that is willing to pay for that knowledge if you keep working at it. And at the end of the day, your price point for a service can be higher, and you don't need as many clients to grow if you're focusing on a specific niche. As I mentioned, there are a number of pros and cons, especially in the area of marketing. When you've got a physical location, you've got a website, you've got these things, it provides a level of legitimacy, because I think that's really what a website does these days. I don't really think they're anywhere near as necessary. Many places might just have a Facebook page or an Instagram page or a Linktree link page, and that might serve as your initial website to begin with. But I do think that a website's main purpose at the moment is just to provide a level of legitimacy to your product, even though I think in the current day and age, you don't actually need one. So developing your marketing based on your niche, who do you really want to service? Who are you best at? Who do you like to see? Think about what your ideal client is, and messaging to suit your ideal client. What is their age? What are they like? What do they dislike? What is their problem and how you can help? And then your marketing message should represent that client. Like, who doesn't want their ideal client over and over? Now, there are a number of ways to go about it. With paid ads, that's the reason why Facebook, Instagram, and everything works, and it's free for most people, because you get businesses that will pay to find their ideal client, and the cost per lead is a lot higher than what it used to be. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And I'm saying this right now, but tomorrow, next week, the week after, that may change, because the online space is changing constantly. This part about how much you're paying for social ads and how much is reasonable. Like, if you're looking for a $1,000 client, having a lot higher lead cost is going to be useful. But if you're looking for a $10 a week client, then you obviously want your lead cost a lot lower. So it's going to be your return on investment that's probably going to be the most important thing. And the cheapest way to go about it is organic online, not paid. So engaging with your ideal clients online, having a chat to them. I don't recommend just cold messaging, because we've all got a bunch of those and you pretty much just ignore them. You obviously want to provide value to the clients. A lot of your ideal clients might have been looking at your page, might have been engaging with you in some way before they're ready to purchase, in the same way that you might look at a number of things for a period of time before you decide to purchase. You're basically looking to see if you can trust them, see if you really need the service, and then you build a local profile. That's how we build our profile. We started local because people buy from who they know, like, and trust. So my main advice to end on for EPs is start before you're ready and seek help, because trial and error can be expensive, but don't wait till you feel like you're ready if it's something that you really want to do, because no one ever feels like they're really ready. So if you've got some value out of today's chat, or rant, I guess we would call it, then feel free to connect with me at xfizbiz on most of our socials. That's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Also, we're over on TikTok. But if you're looking to connect with me personally and chat about some of the programs, different options moving forward, you can also head over to my Linktree, linktr.ee/AaronKingAU. That's AaronKingAU. And then you can have a look at our podcasts, all our different programs for business and businesses, and also connect with me and chat to me personally.